Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The NFL draft is a week from Thursday. So we are just, 9 days away from the National Football League making their first round selections. And finally, we'll have something relevant in sports. Actually, WNBA draft Friday. Sabrina Ionescu going to be the number one pick.
Oh, yeah.
But
who's got the number one pick?
New York Liberty.
New York Liberty.
All right.
Hey, New York finally won the lottery. They get the number one pick. They missed on Zion. They get Sabrina, though.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's going to be great for her brand being in New York.
True that. True that. But Justin Herbert is moving up and down a lot of mock drafts. And actually, I shouldn't say moving down, because Joel Klatt, who joins us every Friday during football season, he released his first mock draft.
Yeah. I was kind of going through all of it.
He doesn't even have Justin Herbert in the first round.
Yeah, he's not deviated off this. This isn't new. We talked to Joel back in August. He has not changed his stance on Justin all year. Not at all.
Okay. Well, that he doesn't think that'll be drafted in the first round?
No, that he doesn't think he's one of his top five quarterbacks.
Oh. Well, okay.
I mean, essentially, he's never been a Justin Herbert honk at all. Well, at all. He's never deviated off that.
There is the honk, and then there's the where people believe he will be drafted.
Sure,
and that's
right.
Kind of the line of demarcation with draft boards and how teams go through their people go through their mock drafts is, where do you believe the person will be drafted, or where do you believe I'm going to rank the top 32 prospects and that will be my first round, right? Mm-hmm. And if you go by how you believe teams will draft, then you would lend it to believe that teams will make a run on quarterbacks and Justin Herbert will be drafted in the first round because of the fact that there's always teams that have a need for quarterback and you get teams always go for quarterback early. But if you don't believe he's one of the top players in the draft, I think that there is, you could justify not having Justin as one of the top 32 players overall in the draft. But do you believe he will not be drafted in the first round? And that's where the mock drafts are interesting.
Well, the mock drafts are mock for a reason, because you're the general manager of 32 teams and your influence and your personal opinion is what you think the team will do. And it's certainly not gospel. I mean, Mel Kiper does this stuff. He gets paid. I don't know what he gets paid. Probably he and Todd McShay have eyes, ears, and everything. They've been doing this for so long. They talk and they talk and they communicate and they try to get feelers and they try to create this. So there's buzz around it. But if Mike Golic said it so good this morning. He said, if you're moving guys up the draft because of a personal workout and combine, then you're a bad franchise.
Yep.
You're a very bad franchise. And this is the kind of crap that will happen, is that you sit in this dirty diaper of no time and you go, well, we talked to him and we did this and we see that. You either like the person or not. That's it.
Yep.
You're either all in it or not. And Joel Klatt's his own general manager, and he believes that Justin Herbert is different, so he's taking that stance.
And he's getting roasted for not having him in the first round and only having two quarterbacks, Burrow at number one and then Tua, number six overall, to the Chargers. But that doesn't mean that,
it's not gospel. It's just an opinion.
Well, yeah. And what we know and what we see is, I mean, right now, he's got, three first-round picks for the Miami Dolphins, and he doesn't have the Dolphins picking a quarterback at all in that first round. So maybe he's just thinking, and I haven't seen an explanation from him because he doesn't do it, that, hey, what if Miami goes and signs Cam Newton?
Yeah.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And they feel like they have a starting quarterback there. Mel Kiper, on the other hand, is moving Justin Herbert up on his draft boards, and he has been talking at length about what the Dolphins may do with their selection.
Yeah, Justin Herbert. You think about Greeny, where Tua is right now. Justin Herbert has been going through this draft process since the end of the year. Didn't have any hiccups along the way. Talk about Joe Burrow nailing it from game one up until the final championship game. Justin Herbert really came on, improved this year, has done it all correctly and what NFL people wanted to see. And certainly for Tua, the durability concern is why I've dropped him to six. Some think he could drop a little further than that. I don't think if he's there for the LA Chargers, he would make an awful lot of sense.
You see some of our analytics projecting the way this thing goes, and they see Tua going earlier, but you're telling us what you're hearing. And the suggestion here is that what you're hearing is that the concerns over his injuries will just overcome all of his talent.
Exactly. It's all about that, Greeny. It's not only just about the injuries he's had, but protecting his body, not taking hits. Will you learn to do that once he's in the NFL? And I think that long-term and even short-term, long-term durability once he's an NFL quarterback is the reason why Justin Herbert maybe has moved ahead right now. I don't get the ceiling low on Herbert. I think the ceiling's high. He's got a ton of talent. I heard that from different people. It blows my mind. There's a bust factor there, no question about it. But once he got out of Oregon, he showed Senior Bowl week and Senior Bowl game what he could do. He's got a ton of talent. Upside is through the roof. He's got as much physical athletic ability. He's super intelligent. Rocket arm. He can run. Ran faster than Jordan Love at the combine, under 4.7. Are you kidding me? The kid's got awesome talent. Will it come together in terms of anticipation and all that in the NFL? We'll see. In terms of Tua, you talk about ceiling. He had four first-round receivers to throw to. Come on. He has a right tackle who's going to be a top 11 pick in the first round. There's an awful lot around him. He had Josh Jacobs, a running back, and then he had Najee Harris. So the talent level around Tua was phenomenal. This notion that Justin Herbert shouldn't be up there, when I talk to NFL people, they've always liked Justin Herbert, just like they always liked Josh Allen. Everybody in the media hated Josh Allen. Well, the NFL really liked Josh Allen, and he's panned out in the NFL. Justin Herbert, the NFL, there's some NFL teams have loved Justin Herbert from the start of the season up until right now.
Wow. So Mel Kiper loves Justin Herbert.
Well, he does. He does. And let me reiterate something that Colin said yesterday, and I thought was pretty good. So I can just I can summarize it like this. Is if you're picking between Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa and you're using injuries as your separator, I can understand that. However, Tua has proven more than Justin Herbert. Proven more against better talent. If you play in the SEC, you play against NFL talent week in and week out. You have NFL talent wide receivers. You have NFL talent offensive linemen. But you also face NFL defensive backs, NFL pass rushers, NFL linebackers, and terrifying defenders. You don't have that kind of depth in the Pac-12. You don't face that kind of depth over and over and over again in proven times and in tough situations. So if you're going to evaluate film based on the ability to make plays versus that kind of team, you watched Tua play and went toe-to-toe with LSU. He went toe-to-toe with them, and that is because of the group of talent that he has around him. It takes a team. Justin didn't have the kind of talent at wide receiver. And trying to sell the fact that guys dropped balls, those are certain things that he didn't face tough defenses week in and week out. You're off on your bad game. And then when he did face average talent or good talent or on the road and in adverse situations during the regular season, you lost on the road in with critical throws. And then you faced an Auburn and you lost to an Auburn. Those are what coaches and those are also what evaluators are going to say. I'm not spinning it any other way. Is that Tua has faced tougher players in a better conference. And if he wasn't hurt, who you pick? And this comes down to just personal opinion of what you feel is a safe pick and what you feel is best for your franchise. And I can understand taking either or over each other.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, though, is that you sit there and you have, with Alabama, two top 15 wide receivers in some mock drafts.
Yeah.
With Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. I mean, you are talking big time.
Yeah.
Big time players. And I don't think Herbert ever played with a guy like that, let alone two of them.
Well, not everybody has the luxury to play with that. And, but you also have to throw against top, high-level defender corners and linebackers and the pass rusher. So even if you have a great wide receiver, that corner is really good. And he's just like, I mean, you're not throwing against freshmen from Stanford. Okay, that's just a big, that's a big difference.
Yes, that is true. Not,
and it, it will
that's
prove
where the
it.
Sliding scale is yeah. always there. And we also have to go with this, is that everybody says, you know, you don't forget kind of the history. Alabama has not had a this would be the highest drafted quarterback under Nick Saban, Tua. But Oregon's history of quarterbacks in the National Football League have not panned out very well over the high-profile guys.
Well,
I mean, and that is something that I think a lot of people that are evaluating the talent, that is unfair to Justin Herbert, but it's a reality of what's going on, is that people think about that.
Well, think about the organizations that, that Oregon quarterbacks have gone to.
Exactly.
Keely Smith went to Cincinnati. You got going to Tennessee and that dysfunction. Now Justin Herbert can end up going to Miami. What other place could he go to? Detroit? I mean, come on. I don't know who else is picking. Washington? Maybe they go. I don't. These franchises, and it could change with Ron Rivera, but... I can't wait for Justin to get a good semblance of what it is to play in against an NFL offense and spend 24/7 around offensive minds and being able to do that with that kind of talent, because he has that kind of intellectual ability. It's above and beyond.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting to see it. I wanted that from Marcus also. And finally, Marcus is going to get what it's like to be around great offensive coaching. It's exciting for him too. He's, I mean, it's one play away from him taking over the Raiders. So these are great changes for these guys.
And, you know, you laid down a great explanation of why Tua is propped up there. And we've got two SEC quarterbacks in Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa that are going to be the top two quarterbacks off the board. I don't remember the last time when the top two quarterbacks were from the SEC.
I know, it's incredible.
Why don't we see more high-level quarterbacks come out of the SEC with everything that you just outlined? That's a fascinating question. I'd love to talk about that moving forward. And the Justin Herbert risk reward versus the injury one. That's a fascinating conversation as well. We'll talk about that after Buck with SportsCenter. Okay, we were talking about Tua versus Herbert. Why the stocks are rising and falling, and you know, you laid out like the level of competition with it. The way that Tua played was amazing. We're looking at Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa being the first two quarterbacks off the board, both of them from the SEC. And we haven't seen that very much. And, you know, there's always that question of why don't, you know, SEC quarterbacks work out better in the NFL? If you currently look at starting quarterbacks in the National Football League from SEC schools, there are, well, slated to be four. They are Jarrett Stidham from Auburn in the New England Patriots, Dak Prescott in Dallas from Mississippi State, Matt Stafford for the Lions, and Drew Locke from Denver. Now, free agent Cam Newton went to Auburn. And for those that may think Ryan Tannehill, because he went to Texas A&M, he was a member of the Big 12. He played there before they made the crossover. So currently, you have four guys that are QB1 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. From SEC schools. Why don't they work out better?
I don't know. Four out of 32, when you think of there's 130 Division I teams plus different small colleges and quarterbacks. I'm not here to tell you that four out of 32 is a great number. Do we expect more? But you got to think who's been dominating the SEC for the last decade and a half. What kind of teams and what kind of style has been dominating that?
Well, it's been
powerful.
It has been power, but also... it has been the most dominant conference, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
And they don't turn out the quarterbacks. Where if they have 13 to 14 first round picks from that conference this year alone,
yeah.
What is it, 11 last year, 11 SEC players, and you're not finding like these quarterbacks every single year. A majority of the first round picks are from the SEC, but it's just not that position. They do every other position except for quarterback.
It's also extremely hard to play quarterback in that conference because of the terrifying kind of athletes that are on defense. If I was in that conference and I was an elite quarterback, I better have a system and an offensive system that is above and beyond what everyone will tell you is, okay, let's stand. No, you don't get the luxury of standing in the pocket. Why is Tua hurt? Because he tries to. Nick Saban said it on his radio show. He got hurt trying to extend plays when he didn't need to. That's what caused his injuries. He needs to learn to throw the ball away because he's playing against terrifying players. Just those of you that ever been on a sideline, I don't know, because you were down in Dallas, and maybe you can answer it as good as anybody, but there is a massive difference between looking at an SEC football team on a sideline compared to a Pac-12 football team. Mm-hmm. It's just how it works. And that explains to me that the offense has started to shift a little bit more. The SEC's always been a little bit last. Remember when Nick Saban bitching and complaining about the huddles and the speed, and then all of a sudden you adapt to it and you change. They're a little slower in their mindset, but they have such great talent that they don't have to immediately jump and change the way everybody is because they're good. They're just physically better than you. You don't have to do the Mike Leach. Mike Leach is an interesting experiment. I'm very curious how that's going to go.
Yeah,
I think he's going to get terrorized. I hope it's good. I think he's going to get terrorized. I really do. I don't think it holds up over time in a division that has that kind of physicality
and speed. Speed and physicality.
Yeah, I just don't think so. But could it change? Yeah, I mean it could change with better talent. Quarterback play in the SEC has always been based on how the trend of the conference goes.
Well, and that is something that if you look at the high-level quarterbacks that have come out, you know, Cam Newton is a great example of this.
He was a running quarterback.
Offensive-oriented Gus Malzahn under Gene Chizik, running the show there. When Florida was turning out quarterbacks, it was with Steve Spurrier, and then they had Tim Tebow with Urban Meyer, who offensive-minded quarterback. Tim Couch was at Kentucky when they had, you know, Mike Leach.
Don't sleep on Danny Werfel.
They had Mike Leach and Hal Mumme running the offense at Kentucky with Tim Couch. And then Dak Prescott was with, at Mississippi State. Yeah. He was with Dan Mullins, who's now at the University of Florida. They have been offensive-minded
coaching
head coaches. The dominant teams recently have been Nick Saban and Alabama down there, who they've been focused on defense, but that is changing now since Lane Kiffin came in, and this is kind of the first wave of quarterback play. And then obviously Joe Brady going to LSU meant a lot for them. It is an interesting shift that we are seeing.
Yeah, and then the Pac-12 is, I mean, we're trying to look at why the Pac-12, when's the last time the Pac-12 has had a great NFL quarterback? I mean, we're talking a great NFL quarterback. Carson Palmer. I mean, when I talk, and I know, and I look at this, and I go, okay, it's been a while.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's fair. But I want to talk about, I mean, those are types of things. It's not easy to say that every conference is really good at trying to throw out quarterbacks. Quarterbacks guessing, and if you're going to draft Justin Herbert, you better be all in on it. You can't toe dip and have one side like him and one side not, because you're attaching your franchise for a minimum of 5 seasons to this guy. And if you do fail, then you look like Mitch Trubisky and the Chicago Bears. Yeah.
I mean, with the Pac-12, you do also have the verdict is still out on Sam Darnold, who he's trending in the right direction.
Trending up.
Andrew Luck was a great quarterback that was derailed by injuries. And then you still have a verdict out on Jared Goff, who took his team to a Super Bowl. But obviously they fell short, but the verdict is still out on him as well. I mean, it's not like it's been void of talent. There have been some big swings and misses, and Mariota's one of them.
When you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, you're hoping in today's world to get 10 to 12 years out of them. That's what your prediction is. That's what every draft analysis, they're not saying, they don't think of it like running back. Running backs, you're hoping to get 4, if you're lucky, 5. Tackles, you're hoping to get 10 years. There is a lifespan. Wide receivers are hoping to get 6 years out of those guys. Quarterbacks is now 10 to 12 years. Mm-hmm. And if you take somebody in the first 5 picks, that's a lifer that you're hoping to get. And so that's a big decision that you need to make sure, and you better be all in on it. And you also got to hope that if you're the Miami Dolphins, if you're taking Justin Herbert, you're now in a division that doesn't have Tom Brady anymore. Does that excite you? Yeah, it does.
In that 10 to 12 years that you're talking about, maybe why you don't take Tua, though.
It's very true.
I mean, if you're looking at 10 to 12 years and this guy hasn't made it through a season since his junior year of high school.
I tend to listen to guys that really break down quarterbacks that know a lot more than me about quarterbacks. Yeah. And I've gone back and forth on this. If I had my gut and I had to pick between the two, they're both very close between Tua and Justin Herbert. The intangibles are quite a bit equal. There's a few things that are alarming about the injuries. Yeah. I mean, that thing is a little bit scary, and I can understand. But if I had to make a choice and had to look at that, I just think Tua has a slight edge. That's me picking. But I'm not taking Justin Herbert isn't going to be a great quarterback. He certainly could be.
Yeah.
And I see him being super successful wherever he goes because he's that kind of success. In college, he needs a really good offensive mind to help him. He can't go to a place that has a junk box of somebody that's saying, we're going to run the football here, we're going to do that. I hope he goes to a place that has a good offensive mind.
There's a lot to that when you're talking about the, going to the place with a great offensive mind. I've said this all along. Justin Herbert sliding in the draft wouldn't be a terrible thing.
No.
Because you go to a better franchise. And Peter King yesterday had that report that a rival GM, so take it for what it's worth, because I don't think people within the Patriots organization know what Bill Belichick is thinking. Mm. But a rival GM says that the Patriots have fallen in love with Justin Herbert. Mm. Are you buying into that?
I could like that a lot. I could like that a lot.
You'd have to put, they have the most draft picks.
Well, they're picking 23. They're picking 23. They're going to have to throw something really good at. Who do you throw it at? You throw it at Detroit? I think you throw it at Detroit. If you're doing it, that's the one team that doesn't need quarterback, allegedly. They need more defensive help. They just traded away all their good defensive players.
And don't you think Matt Patricia might be willing to do a deal with his old buddy?
You
Bill?
Think?
Yeah.
Either a little that love or, tap between the two?
Either that or he won't because he knows that Bill always gets the better end of the trades and he'll be like, no.
That too.
Yeah. He may throw, I owe you one, Bill, for landing him the Lions head job, but you're going to have to give up a lot of capital, move up 20 spots in the draft. Well, you know, you're going to have to give up future first round picks. So
what are you waiting
love
for?
With him,
yeah. What are you waiting for
love
there?
With him, you're better be in real love.
Talk about a great place with Josh McDaniel. Daniel and Justin Herbert, that'd be a godsend.
Yeah, it would be. It definitely would be. Or if he falls, you know, what if the Packers sit there and they're sitting at 30 and they go, well, hey, we have a guy that kind of feels like Aaron Rodgers fell down the draft board. Mm-hmm. You know, whomever it is that falls, if somebody does fall, you know, Jordan Love may be the beneficiary of all of this. Sit behind a good franchise, the Saints, what if they do it, you know, and you may be the quarterback of the future learning behind one of the great established vets. That'd be fascinating.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.